For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, inspire, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. I am your host, Greg Sylvander. Welcome back to me, too. I've been gone for a couple episodes, and I'm happy to be back. With me on tonight's episode of Five on the Floor, directly following that excruciating loss to the New York Knicks, is Brady Hawk. Follow him at BradyHawk305, and Alex Toledo. Follow him at Tropical Blanket on Twitter. So tonight's floor plan, I guess we're going to go through this whole game. There's a couple things I want to really hone in on, and that's Bam Adebayo, the last possession. We need to discuss just how utterly useless Kyle Lowry was for most of the game. And then we'll transition to some transaction talk on the back half of the episode. I'll give you a few updates that I got. I was out of pocket throughout this week, and I'll have some things to share there that was either on off the floor or just some general stuff that I think is worth thinking through as Heat fans approach the deadline. So with all that being said, I'm being long-winded because I've been off for a while here. And so I'm trying to get high usage as I get back and get in my groove. I'll start with you, Brady, on, I guess, just your instant reaction to this Heat-Knicks game, because, you know, we should acknowledge the Heat lost by two to the Knicks tonight. They are now heading to Milwaukee, trying to avoid a 1-3 road trip. This is not how you want to enter a moment where the deadline is looming. There were some bright spots, but overall, your reaction to the Heat's loss to the seventh seed Knicks that's right behind them.
There's a couple of different directions I feel like I would immediately go in terms of initial reaction. Like, there's the negative side and then there's the positive side. Positive side is obviously Bam, and that would probably be my initial reaction. It's just the fact that he has 32 points, 11 of 16 from the field, 10 of 11 from the free throw line. Like, he got to the free throw line 11 times, which just shows his aggression. But what specifically stood out is, like, he had a great game overall. Like, he was kind of consistently throughout the game, they were going to him. The second quarter was more transition stuff. But in the fourth quarter, they got down around 10. And then that was when basically Bam just said, I'm just going to start being selfish. And then that turned into, we're just going to run every action for you the rest of this quarter, felt like, for at least a good portion of it, where it just feels weird to me. It's like, the positive is like, yeah, Bam just had 32 and he had an amazing game. But it's like, why wait till you're down 10 to start utilizing Bam as your number one option and run actions for him and run isolations for him? And then Jimmy comes in and they're running inverted pick and rolls for him, and he's turning it into step back baseline jumpers. Like, all of that stuff is, like, surprising to me. Just because when you see it on display like it was tonight, and it just looks so pure and easy to just go to, and they're running stuff, it's like, you just want more. Like, I feel like that's always the initial takeaway from it. So there was different, that was kind of the positive element. I feel like in general, you know, it's weird because you see a 104-106 game, but I didn't feel like their defense was up to par at all. Like, just the way that they're usually just kind of ball stopping it. It's more so, it wasn't, there was specific elements. Like, obviously they were really attacking Tyler. Like, that was very clear. Like, RJ Barrett was going at him. He was getting to the basket. Because obviously Kyle's at a stage of his career, we talk about matchups all the time. In a matchup like this, he's guarding Julius Randle in the post. He's trying to front. Mm-hmm. They're trying to, it's, and Alex always used the word taxing, where it's like, this defense is so taxing because you have to do so much correct. And it just takes so much physical activity. So they're attacking your kind of your two backcourt guys consistently, and it just led to kind of tough stuff defensively. And then obviously the other thing that was kind of my initial takeaway was just the final shot. We were kind of talking about it pre-show. My first thing to say is, like, that was an ideal shot from that scenario. Like, that was a perfect look. Like, they got it to the short corner with 2 seconds left. He got it up. He had a great look. It barely went off kind of the side of the rim. But my initial reaction, as we use that word again, was that in a 2-point game when Bam Adebayo has 32 points and he's barely hitting rim on any of his shots, I just feel like you go to him in that scenario. Like, that's Preach. Just kind of where it comes down to. And I know people would kind of like, once again, the shot was not a bad shot, but I almost would rather run like a similar action, except Bam into the same spot on the floor, except a few inches in, where you kind of take him into that baseline 2 range and let him kind of hit that shot that he just hit a few minutes prior. That would kind of be the way I go. You'd have probably full momentum heading in overtime. I know they're always going to go for the 3, it feels like, in that scenario. And once again, like, they had a good look, but it just comes down to, in a game like this where Bam's just fresh off an all-star nod, by the way, which we could probably have a completely other podcast about that. We'll probably move that down the line to tomorrow or something. Who knows? But fresh off an all-star nod, just has a 32-point game, had a potential chance to kind of close it out late in the game, but didn't get the opportunity. There was a lot of different takeaways from this game, it felt like. And some of the stuff you mentioned, transactions at the end of this episode, blends into this game, because I felt like there was specific elements of this game where there was loose spots in this roster.
Yeah, and not being connected on defense was completely obvious. Not going to Bam on that last possession, I agree with you. I didn't mind the Tyler shot, and it also looked like Kyle Lowry helped Spo draw that up. At least on the broadcast, it appeared as if Kyle Lowry suggested something to Spoelstra, which made him say, okay. And it looked like they were even kind of the way he was Lowry was pointing on the court, it was almost directionally kind of where Tyler ended up. At least that's what it looked like from my perspective. Others can correct me if you feel differently. So I feel like they got the look that they wanted, but ultimately I wish that they would go to Bam in that moment, because this is Bam Adebayo's franchise. And I think that that's ultimately something that Jimmy Butler and he will, they're like one and one, A1A, like they both get 1A or whatever. Like, but it needs to, I felt like tonight was a night to go to Bam. Alex, quick takeaways on this game. The last possession, I'd like to hear how you felt about that specifically before we kind of shift gears beyond just this exact game and look ahead a little bit.
So, yeah, I agree with you guys. Like, I think Tyler got as good as a shot as you're going to get there, right, in that situation. I didn't think he was going to get some sort of layup or anything like that. So he lifted up, got into the air and got up a decent 3, even though it was contested. But I agreed. Like, I think it just should have gone to Bam. I think, you know, he put up a masterpiece of the game offensively, like Brady said, you know, was just not touching rim on all these shots that he's taking. And it's not just like the 10-foot dotted line ones that Eric Reed loves to talk about. Like, he's really hitting these mid-range shots whenever, wherever, and he's just kind of stepping into them with rhythm and has really, you know, put that together. Like, the shots that they're giving up, he's taking. So it doesn't necessarily have to be from one area that he considers a hot spot. Like, he just feels good wherever in that, you know, general painted area. And, you know, Bam was on it, man. Like, I just think he was incredible, really made up for the bad game that Jimmy had, right? And not to talk down on Jimmy, but it just is what it is. He did not shoot well, did not get to the free throw line. He obviously still does more for you as a defender and a playmaker, playing up for his size. So I'm just saying, like, Bam did an amazing job to make up for that. Tyler had a big second half, but I agree that the defense was a big problem all night. We know he's not a great defender overall. He's made strides in general and knows where to be, but like, his size is what it is. And I think RJ Barrett was the main guy taking advantage of him, but just in general, and especially at the end of the game, they kept trying to get him to switch, and, you know, good job by the Heat to try to get him to kind of show and recover. They never really gave up that switch, which I definitely like, but obviously just having a scramble off of that, you know, leads to, I think, easier shots for the Knicks. And, you know, I'm glad that Tyler was able to make up for it offensively, because he really had a big time second half. And yeah, Kyle Lowry was a non-factor tonight. Just doesn't even look like he has confidence moving the ball anymore. Like, everything looks out of place. I don't know what's going on with him. He looks like he doesn't know how to play like an off-ball player anymore. It's weird to me, because it feels like he shouldn't, like, if you're going to have him out there with the starters, know, run a damn pick and roll for him every now and then, right? And don't run the offense through him, but it just feels like he doesn't get into a rhythm and you don't get like great production from him at all in the three quarters that he plays because he doesn't really get the ball. He doesn't take open shots. He's like stepping into these contested ones. So a lot to take away from tonight. I'm glad that Bam put up another one of these games. You know, he was the biggest crunch time player in the last game too. And it just felt like that shot should have gone to him. I think, you know, hot take, when you're down two, give the ball to your best player who's having a great game and who's really good at scoring twos this season.
Kinda. I mean, I'm with you on that. And another weird thing about tonight, and trust me, we want to talk about Kyle Lowry in a minute. So just don't worry. We're getting there. Another weird thing about tonight was Jimmy Butler, one free throw attempt, didn't appear to be necessarily that aggressive. But you know who is aggressive? Aggressive Insurance. They're an insurance broker agency that's been servicing South Florida for over 15 years, offering auto, homeowners, condo, life insurance. They offer retirement programs, free notary service to every client. Lynette, friend of the program, go to insurancebylynette.com. They represent the leading insurance carriers in South Florida. If you have a bad driving record, no problem. No driver is refused. You'll even get a free phone quote. Reach out. The website is Insurance by Lynette. That's with two N's and two T's.com. Find her on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. That's A Aggressive Insurance, the official sponsor of the Five on the Floor live post-game show, which is not happening tonight. We're doing a podcast coming to you directly following the game. And shout out to the crew over at Miami Heat Beat who are taking over the YouTube channel doing Hangover Time. I bet that's a fun broadcast. All right. Where the hell are we going to go next? I think we need to do this Kyle thing now. I'm at the point where I think they need to make the trade. I think that they need to not approach this reluctant to break up something that you think could work. It's not working. Every time that I watch him play, he's less and less a part of the things that are happening that are going right. He's getting less and less minutes, 24 minutes tonight. I mean, like, what are we doing there? You bring in a player at such an exorbitant salary, $28 million. He's making more millions of dollars than he played minutes tonight. Like, you got to play more minutes than your salary number. I think that should be a new rule. How about that to get players to start playing? No, I'm joking. Kyle Lowry was, and this is box plus minus. So just the stat heads out there, put your noses up in the air. It was a minus 17 in 24 minutes in a 2-point ball game. What the hell are we doing, Brady? Are you going to be able to, in a coherent fashion, tell me why Kyle Lowry is going to work with this group? Like, is there a path for that happening other than like just basically saying, well, everything that's going wrong is going to go right, which duh, then it would be fine. Like, can you come up with another viable path? Cause I'm at the point where I am actually out on Kyle Lowry as a member of the Miami Heat.
Yeah. I just don't think there is a path. Like, I don't know how you figure that out in terms of him. The thing you mentioned, the plus minus, and like you said, like plus minus doesn't always tell the full story, but when you're at halftime in a 3-point game and you're a minus 20, like that's kind of a problem. Like that, like there's kind of something to that number, whether you like plus minus or not. I said it, like Gabe Vincent did not have his greatest game of the season by far. He was 2-for-8, 1-for-6 from three, somehow ended up with a plus 14 plus minus just because of the play of Kyle throughout. But right when he entered, it was funny because I was like you felt the offense energy shift, like right when Gabe came in. Like he came off like a high pick and roll and hit a three immediately. That was what his 1-3 of the night. But like you saw a confidence in his role. I watched Kyle, and we could sit here and talk about all the things that's kind of going wrong for him. The shot making, the ability to burst pass and kind of get to that second or third level, the defensively not be able to guard his position. Like we could talk about all that, but he just doesn't look comfortable out there. Like he does not look confident or comfortable in his role whatsoever, whether he's on the ball, bringing it down the floor, whether he's off the ball, looking to shoot. Like there's just so many moments where like he's made a career of himself, like his entire time in Toronto, off like having the ball in his hands or not, but like being confident and making decisions on the fly constantly. I've seen him either give up shots that are there for him, or he's driving and he's like, doesn't know if he should kick out to this spot or this spot. Or he's like, kind of like overthinking in a way. And I know we talked about when the last guy that was struggling was Duncan Robinson last year. And all we did was talk about overthinking. And I hate to use that word over and over, but it almost feels like that. Like he just doesn't look comfortable out there at all. And it gets to a point where like, you're just trying to fix so much because you're trying to fix, you know, a player that is, you know, way past his prime, that is getting up there in kind of his NBA career days. I don't know how you adjust stuff. Like you can't just sit here. It's not a young player that you're giving to the coaching staff and say, do this, do this, do this. Like it's not at that point anymore. So is there a pathway in terms of fixing it? I just don't really see it at this stage. And look, and we always talk about, because I know we're talking about trades and you talked about kind of the possibility of moving it. You always talk about the kind of the reason he came here was for Jimmy. If he's not comfortable in his role and he's not comfortable being here, I don't think Jimmy would have a problem with signing off on him going to another team at this age. So like, if that's the one thing that we feel like is holding a guy back, I feel like we're past that point too, to be honest.
Yeah. And I also think maybe that we're past the point of them having to necessarily care how Jimmy feels about it, because you have to do what's best for the collective, frankly. I mean, like, what are we doing here? Look at this guy. I mean, I hate to say that. Alex, you've referenced some stuff in the chat that I'm not going to give away and steal your thunder, but you know, this was supposed to be a core four, as you said. And do you think that the trade stuff could have anything to do with Kyle being a little bit more like he looks recently, like just kind of, I don't want to say disengaged necessarily, because he was, you know, very much engaged with Spoelstra late in that ball game, but on the court, just looking uncomfortable. We're going to use Brady's adjective. Is that because maybe he knows his name is potentially coming up in the next week here? Or have you seen something gradual take place recently with him in the offense that would indicate that they're just phasing him out because it's not working?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like, I don't think it's necessarily trade related. I mean, obviously, I don't know what's going on in his head, but he's been around the league for so long. And I actually don't necessarily think he's going to get traded just because it seems so complicated to pull off now, but I'm definitely not against it. And I think I've definitely come towards that just thought in the same way that I've come gradually towards the thought of bringing him off the bench. It's the way that they're using him now. You're just not getting much out of him. Like, I don't mind him being an off-ball player. Like, I like the way that they use him as a screener. That's the one positive thing I'll say about him on offense, that he can screen, and that's good for Jimmy, right? I wish they would actually do it a little bit more for Bam. But in general, he's good at that. And usually he's a good ball mover, even when he's not an on-ball player. And like Brady said, like, he looks like he's just overthinking things out there. Like, sometimes he'll stop the ball movement going on, and he doesn't do that all the time. Like, I think tonight was particularly bad. It might have been the worst he's looked in a Heat uniform, but just off recent memory. Like, he hasn't had a great season, but tonight was very bad. Like, he looks like he's hesitating with his decisions, and he looks like somebody who I wouldn't mind just running the bench unit and, you know, having him in lineups with Vic and Bam instead of that Gabe, Vic and Bam unit that they go to a lot, you know, when things are healthy. Like, just something like that, where you kind of get those guys involved with the pick and roll action there. And instead of stapling his minutes to Jimmy, I know Giancarlo from Heat Beat has talked about that. I agree with that. Just in general, he has not lived up, especially this season, to, you know, the whole core four thing. Like, and they, I don't know why they, you know, insisted on pushing the core four thing, even if unintentional, right? In press conferences, if that you like, you're right, they're phasing him out. That's exactly what's happening. He doesn't play fourth quarters at all anymore. And, you know, unless he's having like a hot game, he had that nice fourth quarter against the Pelicans. Every other game, like, he's not there. He's not a fourth quarter player anymore. And in the three quarters he is playing, he's out of place. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm definitely not against trading him. I just don't know that they're going to be able to get, like, they're definitely not going to get back a better, like, a good shot creator or something like that that's going to replace him as a core four type of player. I think if you can make him a part of a trade where you're getting back a couple of rotation players, I'm definitely not against it, as long as it's the right fit. I just think he's not a part of that core four anymore. I think it's just kind of what it showed to be this season.
You're right. The minutes and the usage just compared to your percent of total salary, like he's not a part of a core four. And I think it was really Spoelstra who I first heard coin that phrase, if I remember correctly. So the trade deadline's next Thursday. We're going to run through some of the latest intel. I've been out of pocket on the 9 to 5. So now I'm back around, plugged in, and trying to catch up on all my text messages, DMs, and such. So we'll go through that kind of thing, latest intel on the back half of the episode. Before we do, I want to tell you about another great sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. That is Prize Picks. You have 217 hours to take care of this, or to take advantage of this promo. Patrick Mahomes, right now, if he throws for 1 yard in the Super Bowl, that square, if you go over, you'll get a free square, essentially. That's a 99% off square. This is on prizepicks.com. You can play NFL, NBA together. You choose over and unders on your favorite players. Super easy. The stats that you know and love, receiving yards, rushing yards, points, rebounds, blocks, assists. You choose over and under. And depending on how many players you choose that get correct on the same card, you can win up to 10 times your money. But here's the key. You got to use the code 5, F-I-V-E. That'll get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. That's Prize Picks. Great app, but also has desktop application. Prizepicks.com if you want to go there and use the code 5. But Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor and the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly. So I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I'm all over Prize Picks, by the way. That's going to be fun leading up to the Super Bowl. So the other part of this is, you mentioned like the different packages, Alex, as we kind of get into some trade stuff. Do you have anything, do either of you, before we go to transaction season, do either of you have anything else about the New York Knicks game that you want to bring up?
Max had a good game. Other than that, that's about it. RJ Barrett got absolutely going at the rim, and the Knicks hit way too many at the rim, like 22 of 32.
Oh.
Wow. At the same time, the Heat don't finish well at the rim, 13 of 22. So it's just, yeah, the defense wasn't all there when they weren't forcing turnovers like Brady talked about before.
I'd say my last takeaway kind of segues into the trade stuff, because I'll say we should mention that Udonis Haslem was the backup big tonight.
What?
And like the way I come down on this is like, he was the best option tonight. Like, I really believe that. Like, agreed. That's the wild thing. Like, I don't have a problem with going to it. It's just the fact that you are 1-2-way big away from this point. Like, okay, Omer Yurtsman's going to be back, you know, pretty soon. But like, we don't know what that's going to look like even. Like, we haven't even seen that this season. So, like, the fact that your 2-way big gets hurt and this is the point you're at, this is when I kick it to Greg and say, like, that this is where the trades come in, because you need front court help. You potentially need a four. You potentially need that four to potentially play backup five. Like, you need moving parts in the front court. And I think tonight, if there was one takeaway from the trade part of this, it was that.
Yeah, the ODM performance solution of the night is obviously probably a little less Kyle Lowry, but also UD was their best option. There's no doubt. I think that Dwayne Dedmon is probably not going to play much between now and February 9th. That's just how I that's my humble prediction. The ODM performance solution is they need to fortify this front court somehow. Team building is hard. Ask Miami. It's been hard, but it doesn't always have to be hard. ODM Performance Solutions can help you build a winning team and keep it together. If you're looking to fill an important role at your company, ODM Performance Solutions can help you find C-suite level leadership, sales rainmakers, management, operational support staff, whatever you need. To find out more, check out odmpsi.com or give them a call at 954-434-0634. Again, that's ODM Performance Solutions, odmpsi.com, or call them at 954-434-0634. Transaction season. So I don't think that they can actually really change the complexion of this roster unless they include Kyle Lowry in the trade. That's my opinion, that they can't really like fix this shit right now unless Kyle Lowry's in a deal. I know that they are, if they can get back contributors and Duncan can be a part of that deal, that they'd like to do that because it gets them off that long-term money. A lot of the players that we hear about are on, you know, either expiring deals or they're going to expire the year after. Few notes that I think we should catch everyone up on. If you're not subscribed to Off the Floor, they know this already. Shout out to everybody on our Off the Floor subscriber feed. Just a few notes that I, you know, I was away from my phone on my 9-to-5 gig and came back. I really was trying to stay off of it. I had a little bit of screen time each night, but other than that, I didn't really get to plug in. Missed a lot of great content, missed a good Barry Jackson article, and then I kind of parroted everything he said and felt awful about it. I swear I did not read that before posting what I said about what will be fascinating about the Heat salary cap. Here's the news and notes. There's the long-winded way of me getting here. They've talked to the Houston Rockets. I think it's KJ Martin that they're looking at. This would be the type of deal where if they could make a swap for a lower salary player that would allow them the chance to have the wiggle room to stay under the tax and use the 15th roster spot. This is that kind of move. That's like how I envision it personally. Also heard Oklahoma City could be an option for them to get involved in a trade as that pick is still outstanding. And if they could maybe move that up to 2023, they'd have flexibility going forward. Also, Dorian Finney-Smith is reportedly available from the Dallas Mavericks. I checked in with a league source who told me that don't be surprised if Miami immediately calls. They've been interested in him. They love his game. I know he hasn't shot well, but I would watch for that. And then a report came about Kelly Olynyk. And I don't know, last week or so, I mentioned that they were talking to Utah about a number of guys, Jared Vanderbilt being one, but Kelly Olynyk being another. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get both of them in a deal, if they could work something out. I don't know how viable that is, but we'll wait and see. And I'll close with this, and then I want you guys to just kind of react to this floodgate of news. I really think that in light of the fact that when you hear Shams talk about either OG or Pascal Siakam being a notable trade candidate, one or the other, it sounded like John Collins, Jay Crowder. I can confirm that the Heat have checked in on three of the four guys that they named. I can't verify anything else other than that per, you know, the source that I have. I really think that the Heat are going to have to look hard at some of these bigger plays like a John Collins, like a OG Anunoby, and see if they can get, you know, really involved in those talks. What are your thoughts on those players? Jay Crowder also is a buyout kind of situation. Brady, reaction to those names. particularly maybe some of the ones that I had heard that were more solid, and then even the bigger fish that Shams mentioned.
Yeah, after a two-point loss to the Knicks, I don't think anybody wants to hear us talk about Jay Crowder too much tonight. So if I'm Miami, though, among all the stuff you were just talking about, like, I would have all eyes on Toronto. Like, that was kind of be the way I would go in terms of the names you were mentioning. Like, if you can find a way to get an OG and an Obi type, we've mentioned it before about the fact that he's basically the prototypical Heat type build that they just love, where if you can plug him in there and obviously put him around your core three, but maybe I can start that type of phrase now because we just talked about the core four. I think you would kind of look at that in terms of the trades you were mentioning. I think that the, you know, it's not flashy, but the Olynyk type of Vanderbilt move gives you a little bit of more flexibility in the front court where they can at least do different things, where it's not backup big plays 10 minutes and Bam has to just run around on both sides of the ball, being the most important player probably on both ends for the other 38 minutes a game. Like, that is just a tough thing to do. If you get a Kelly Olynyk type that can be your offensive threat that you could play as backup big at times or next to Bam, you have Vanderbilt, who I think would be a personal favorite of Spo's, just because I feel like he could do so many different things defensively. He can clear up things on rebounding, the 2-5 switching type. Like, that would kind of be an interesting trade. And now you said it does seem kind of difficult to like try to get both of those guys in the same deal. Like, I don't know how that would work specifically, but in terms of basketball wise, like, I feel like that would be a nice addition. But like you said, it feels like they're at the point where they have to look at the big stuff first. And I feel like when you keep hearing the name of Toronto, and it seems like there's a holdup in terms of Toronto, where like whatever Toronto does, it feels like that will like open everything up for the trade deadline in terms of everybody making moves. Or at least if they pick a direction and they figure out what guys are staying and they actually do build around Scotty and what guys go, like, I feel like the Heat really need to act upon that.
And here's the thing with this. Here's the thing. Shout out to Ethan, who's not on tonight. If any team's going to take Kyle Lowry back on some feel good shit, it's Toronto. So like that raises my eyebrows in terms of like, what the hell could happen here? He's just a big chunk of salary that could be moved around. Alex, the names I mentioned initially, I know are not as sexy as the other names, which I really think the Heat are going to check in on. Like, this whole, even John Collins, watch for the hook, y'all, even though I think he may end up out West. What are your thoughts on the names that we went through, your favorites of them, and just general reaction to the Toronto situation and the players there? Because we haven't even talked about Siakam, because I don't think that that's an option necessarily, but I guess OG more than anything. Although people are starting to say Memphis is going to get OG out of nowhere, and they have more assets. So we'll see. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts on all those trade candidates.
So, yeah, the Raptors are definitely the biggest part of all this. It's going to be an interesting trade deadline, I think, because the parity in the league this season, like, there's just so many competitive teams. And like Spo said the other night, not as many tanking ones. So it feels like a lot of teams are looking to add a piece or two, even if it's not like the most exciting names in the world. Right. The Raptors are what changes all that, because like you said, if OG, Siakam, Van Vliet, Gary Trent, like if one or two of those guys get dealt, like those are pretty good players that are gettable, right? That could really change a lot for a contending team. And it seems like OG is the most likely one to be traded. It feels like the Raptors are leaking stuff. Like, there was the stuff with, you know, there's going to be a Pelicans Grizzlies bidding war, and the Knicks are willing to throw down 3 first round picks. I feel like if they really were throwing down 3 for unprotected first, this would have got done already. It feels like they're setting that market up, and it feels like what the Raptors do is going to set the market for the rest of the trade deadline. And yeah, I would definitely be in on OG. I do think the price is a little steep, would be an awesome fit for sure. But Siakam is, of course, like, you know, I think a top 25, top 20-ish player. So of course there would be some interest there, even if it wouldn't be like the most perfect fit in the world. Between Jimmy and Bam, Gary Trent, Van Vliet, like, these are good players. So of course the Heat should check in to see like which ones are actually gettable, what the price would be. After that, like, I think Collins is, you know, has had a down year shooting, but it does feel like he's going to end up on the Suns or the Jazz or something with all the noise that's happened there. Obviously wouldn't be against it. And that report came out recently that the new Hawks management over there with, what is it, Landry Field and somebody else, like it seems like they don't value Collins as much and don't want as much in a return, or at least that was a recent report. So if you're not giving up a ton of stuff for Collins, I'm more into the move. I thought before the price was a little steep. So that is interesting to me. And as far as the Jazz stuff, definitely intrigued by that. Vanderbilt doesn't really shoot, but you know, he only takes like a three, maybe two a game, but he is an awesome defender, awesome rebounder, awesome defensive playmaker. You know, another guy who would fit perfectly into pretty much all of their schemes, like Brady said, and can play small ball five for spurts. So yeah, getting him alongside Kelly would be nice. I think if you could somehow get Malik Beasley out of the deal too, I think that's the type of thing where you probably got to involve Kyle, because Malik Beasley makes like 16 mil. So you're adding another significant contract into there. Not saying I would do that, but that would be interesting just because, you know, you could use the shooting. But yeah, like I think there's a lot of interesting sellers out there that the Heat should definitely be in touch with. And shout out to you, man, for giving us all this information.
It was compiling in the inbox as I didn't have the chance to really like check in. And then I started to follow up and then got an avalanche of cool stuff. Who knows where any of it goes? Like, that's the whole part about this. Part of this is just let's enjoy the fact that there's, you know, definitely stuff being talked about. I think another team for Kyle Lowry to watch for is maybe the Clippers. You know, him and a lot of people in that organization are really close, and they have a glut in the front court. So watch the there.
Rob Covington, just it works pretty well when you trade it 2-for-1.
Oh, and Norm Powell is a bench scorer. Please. I mean, gosh, they need it. And then also Marcus Morris is on that team as well. And then the other team is Dallas, because like if they don't do something for Luka, that's going to get weird. And they also have bigs. And I mentioned Dorian Finney-Smith that need to be moved, whether it's Christian Wood. And I don't know that he would end up in Miami, but watch Dallas as a Lowry team.
I'm into it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You got so much money committed next year, and they are not going to be a tax team for a middling 4 or 5 seed, I don't think. And it's just, do you be proactive or reactive? We shall see. Thank you for joining us on tonight's episode. We'll have you covered for the next game and everyone thereafter leading up to the deadline. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.